This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Moni, and with me today is my lovely, glorious, a bit sucking rainy thunder situation, but made it out, and now she has internet, and looks glorious. Hi, Amanda. How are you doing?
Hi, Moni. I'm good. I'm glad that we're able to record today, because it was a little bit iffy whether that was actually going to happen.
We also jinxed it for a second, and we're like, maybe I lose my internet. 2 seconds later, my internet's gone. So
yeah, that happened. So that was that something. Actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
so
otherwise,
that's how I am.
That's exciting, a bit terrifying, but I'm glad you're otherwise okay.
Mm-hmm. And how are you?
We have power and internet. Oh yeah, I didn't sleep a lot, so I'm tired and tired and a bit confused. And it's been a long day already. But otherwise, doing fine, I guess. I suppose. I don't really know. Today, I don't know. It's one of those days where, like, what is going on?
You're just hanging out.
I'm just hanging out, doing my shit, trying to. Anyway, never mind. All is otherwise well. Like, no drama, no anything else. So it's a good day.
Good.
There's no drama. It's a good day, I guess.
I totally agree. No drama equals good day. Thumbs up for no drama days.
Thumbs up. But it also means today, what day is it today?
Today is June 1st, the first day of arguably maybe the best month of the year.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Could be. Yeah. Which is... fake drum roll.
Pride Month!
Woo-hoo! It took so long. I was like, is she going to do something or not? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We can totally do that.
So, happy Pride Month. Happy day. Happy June 1st. Happy first day of the Pride Month, where we celebrate all things gay. Queer.
All things queer.
All things queer.
How good is that?
Mm-hmm.
People might be wondering, do we really need that? If you're wondering that, you are the problem. Number one. And yes, we need it because there is still a lot of inequality going on and we need to raise more awareness. So that's why we need it. So get fucked, get over it. You have pride all time of the year otherwise. Give the people what they want, which would be pride all year for them as well. But at least in June we're celebrating.
Mm-hmm. Especially this year, I think it's been a very difficult year for trans rights in a lot of places, especially in America, which isn't what this episode is about.
And the UK.
And the UK. Fuck. Yep. So we're not talking about those negative things, but it's like shit like that that means that celebrating pride and being like happy and celebrating queer joy and trans joy is extra important.
Exactly. Oh. Oh, God.
Well, we got halfway there.
Yes, I totally agree. And also, I think it's really important to just not always talk about how everything sucks as a queer person, because that's not true. Not everything sucks as a queer person.
Nope.
And especially not if there starts to be amazing representation like the topic we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. And we, believe it or not, did not plan to record this episode today because of Pride. We just wanted to talk about Monica's new favorite show obsession, Heartstopper.
This is true. It is my new favorite show obsession. If people have been here for a while, then they know I have a couple of obsessions. One of them, or probably my biggest one, is Grey's Anatomy. I still watch it, can't do anything about it. But this one, Heartstopper, is like right up there.
Yeah, how many times have you watched it so far, Moni?
8 times. In my total absolute defense, that's probably one season of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, true. Yeah.
If it helps really when the honest.
Episodes are like 20 to 30 minutes and you can just like sit down and it's like a long movie.
Exactly. It is like a long movie. And it, like you could, like you did it, you could do it in like two instances. Then it's like really two movies at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I did when I watched it, because I've only seen it once.
You've only seen it once. But I know, I appreciate that not everybody has the tendency like I do.
To deep dive.
To deep dive, yes. just as an explanation for people who don't know what Heartstopper is and why it is glorious. Heartstopper is a new series on Netflix. It has 8 episodes. It's based on a graphic novel by Alice Oseman that has been out since. Or she's like, they're continuously writing it still. Like drawing it still, obviously, and writing it. But since like, I don't know, 2016, 18, 17, 18, something like that. So a couple of years now. They're in the 4th volume. And Netflix basically bought the rights to it, had Alice Oseman also write the script for it, and it's incredible. It's all it's you ever really want good. From television.
Mm-hmm. It's true. As just like watching it the first time, I was blown away by how they approached everything and like talked about big things, little things, everything in between, all about experiencing life as a queer teenager.
Mm.
It was good.
So it's the story of, I mean, who doesn't, this is probably all spoilery territory because I feel like you can't, you get into it because the episodes are so short, you get into spoiler really fast, I feel like. But it's the story of two boys who go to like an old boys, it's set in the UK for reference. I feel that's important because I wouldn't otherwise guess any of it. I also asked some questions like, what is a form? Set in the UK, all boys school. One of the main characters is Charlie, came out the term previously as gay. I got a bunch of shit in school for it. Because bullies are everywhere, but it's not ever something you ever see really graphically. You just know that he had issues with it, so he had been bullied previously. And he, because UK has some weird thing that's called a form. I don't know what that is. Apparently, like some.
If that makes sense to you.
We don't have any of that.
Well, for our North American viewers, a form is like a homeroom.
So as an explanation for people who don't have that, it's basically some kind of class where you go to for a certain amount of time before you go to actual classes, and there are whatever students in there, and you put in groups, and that's your form group or whatever, or your homeroom group or whatever.
Good explanation.
Since you're not saying it's not the case, it's just so confusing to me. I don't understand.
Yep. There you go. Liz, actual Brit, says it's your base where you get registered for the day before lessons.
What do you get registered for? I don't understand. This is such a weird. School. This is such a weird concept for me.
I don't know.
Is it because you have to switch classrooms, basically, for every lesson? Yes. Do you have to switch classrooms for every lesson?
Yes.
Oh. This is so weird.
Money's mine right now.
Honestly, it is so, because we have one classroom that we're in all the time and the teachers come to us. So whoever comes in the first lesson looks through the class. Like, we have a book, basically, with a list of names in it. The class book, it's called. And then I think in the first lesson, people maybe take attendance. Maybe not. They just have to note when somebody's missing. It's not like they read them all out and are like, Hollerer here, Rabensteiner here. That's not happening. So they just, who is missing, then they note that down. And because we're like 25 people max in the class, maybe. So they know and see immediately when somebody's missing. And we all have our own seats and stuff. So that's why it's so confusing to me, where I'm like, is it this? Because they, like, he meets, so Charlie, going back to Heartstopper, goes into his forum group, meets this student that's a class above him, and I'm like, this was all like the theory behind it was very confusing.
I'm sorry, that was a confusing concept. I hope that between chat and my terrible explanation, you understand more.
Yeah, I do understand better now. It's still a weird concept, but so is wearing school uniforms, so that's also very confusing.
I understand that. School uniforms were a thing, like, in or are a thing in North America that are reserved for, like, private schools and Catholic schools. Public schools are free-for-all.
Free-for-all.
What you want to wear.
Interesting. But, yeah, and so Charlie meets this boy, Nick, in his form class. He's a year above him, or a year older. I don't know if that's called year above him or whatever. And they start to become friends, really, like, in the beginning. Though, like, already from the very start, there is an obvious attraction to each other, because there are, like, leaves flying around and it's all adorable.
Yeah, okay, sorry, just before we continue, I have to say that I love that about this show, how they brought the graphic novel elements in and the artsiness, and how, like, they used it to really highlight kind of feelings and important moments and electric shocks between fingers. Yeah, I thought that that was a really, really cool thing to show in, like, not a cartoon or, like, animated series. To tie it into the fact that it was a graphic novel. I really liked it.
I agree. I thought it was amazing. And also I feel it brought even more emotion to it, even though it was, like, a bit kitschy, I guess. And, like, I mean, this entire thing was super cheesy.
Oh my gosh.
But to a degree where I'm not, where I didn't mind, which is because it was, And I tried to figure out why I wasn't annoyed by it. Because any other cheesy romance like this, I don't think I would have been into like that. What do you mean, get off your face? Oh, sorry. I thought that was... I didn't realize that this was on the other screen. I thought it was on that one. Apologies.
It's okay.
But yeah, because it was all very, 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 very cheesy, right? Like, and very, like, first romance and first love and all of that, and it was just so cute. But even I, who was like, "Ugh, this is all, it's not realistic, this is bullshit," I was so into it.
Yeah, it was heartwarming. It was, they were, as I said to you after my first four episodes, painfully adorable. Just like, I was like, oh my God, they're so cute. It actually physically hurts. Like, oh, get on with it.
No.
It was so cute. No, I really like them. I like the friendship that they built up and how it wasn't all just a friendship, but, like, trying to figure out feelings and realizing your sexuality and so I don't even know how to talk about this in a linear way, so I'm just gonna, like, word vomit out here. There was a scene where Nick was Googling am I gay, or, like, how to find out if you're gay, and, like, taking these quizzes that's like, am I gay? And I remember, like, way back, like, 20 years ago, taking very similar quizzes that have not changed in the type of questions that they ask, the type of responses that they give, and I'm just like, wow, cool. So the resources available are actually still exactly the same as they were 20 years ago. Super. Mm. And it also made me laugh, but I was just like, this is such a real experience. Like, this is so real.
I also feel what they did really well in that scene is 100% also that you could, it, like, if you paid enough attention to what articles he found when he was looking it up, there was so much bullshit with it, right? Like, so much, there was not really anything helpful. Like, anything calm, like, only, like, articles that will make you want to not read further, like conversion therapy and hate crimes and all, like, would, if for someone who is just trying to figure themselves out, I feel it must be really scary to read all of that first before you're already questioning what is going on with you and then what all of these feelings mean. And then the first thing you read is like, your life's gonna be horrible. Like, if that's who you are, then this is all brutal for you, which is just really, and I feel they've done it so nicely that if you pay attention, you see it, without making it like, because this series could be like all about queer pain, right? But it's not in the slightest. It's all about queer joy, and they mention all of the issues, a lot of issues that come with it, right? But without that being the only thing that people talk about, in the center of it all is the joy of it all and the falling in love for the first time and like having all these nice and wonderful feelings and having being all like super into someone and then does he like me? Does he like me back? Exactly. Gemma says it's real, but it's not trauma porn. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tom says, I didn't find it too cheesy because I actually felt they portrayed that awkwardness in such a real way. Like waiting for a person to write you back or changing your sentence 10 times and debating over small things like what emoji to use in chat. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't have that kind of chat, like texting when I was in high school. And I doubt you did either, Money, because you're older than me. So.
Wow.
Shade.
Rude. I mean, the things that we didn't have is like the, well, I had a mobile phone pretty early on, so I had like texting and stuff I had early. And I mean, I've found all the people I connected with on the internet, so I obviously was a lot of texting there involved. But what we didn't have is like these typing thing where you can see whether the other person is typing or not at the moment and then decides to not message you and stuff like that. That's not an experience that I had, but obviously the writing and the thinking whether that's nice, right thing to say, and that's like that waiting for it, that I could really relate to. But yes, the oh, exactly, ICQ.
Yeah, no, I was definitely an ICQ and an MSN Messenger girl. But I think, like you say, the difference is that, like, we didn't have read receipts. Like, we couldn't see that somebody had read our messages. We couldn't see those, like, dot, dot, dots. Like, so-and-so was writing. Oh, they've stopped writing. Oh, they're writing again. Oh, they've stopped writing. Oh, they're writing again. Oh, they've stopped writing. Are they ever going to write again? Oh, no.
Yeah. 100%. So I agree with that too, what Tom says. And for me, what I feel is why I felt it wasn't too cheesy was also because all of it still felt like there was something that was more important still with even showing that kind, like with even having this kind of show. Like, it's not even just about the romance. Even though the romance is in the center of it all, it's about how everybody is, number one, portrayed in it, like how they act it, how they deal with all of the things that they're dealing with. It's how their friends help be supportive, not supportive, or how do you stand up against people who treat someone that you care about really horribly? And what if you realize that the friends that you have are all just wankers, and all things, all those, they were all such an important part of the entire story, even though the center of it is the romance bit, but there all the other, there are so many tweaks kind of that then built this amazing tree of the show. Look at me being all like metaphorical.
Poetic. No, it was poetic, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've touched on something really important that I think was the way that they did it in the show was like perfect. And it's talking to your friends or standing up to your friends who are being pieces of shit. You know, mm-hmm. like there was scenes where, what was that? What was his name? Was it Billy? No. Was it Billy? No.
Harry?
Harry. It's kind of like Billy. Where Harry was being, like, awful to Charlie. Like, picking on him, bullying him about being gay. And there was a scene quite early on where Nick stood up to him and, like, called him out on his homophobia and said, like, you can't talk to people like that. And, like, that's actually what we need more of this. And that was before Nick, like, fully knew for himself what his sexuality was and, like, that he was developing feelings for Charlie. Like, I think they were kind of there, but he was like, what are these feelings? And just, like, that moment is so important and it's so iconic because that is how we need to talk about this. Like, we need to be more proactive about calling out homophobia and transphobia when we see it, especially in our friend group. Like, if your friend is saying really awful things, stand up and be like, hey mate, that's homophobic, knock it off. Like, and
I felt it was really good that he specifically mentioned it, right? Because he literally said to him, that's homophobic, Harry. So it's not just like, that's really not nice of you or whatever. Like, he called him out very specifically on his bullshit, right? And not just that he's like being funny or whatever, but actually him being with his stupid banter that he's always talking about is actually homophobic, because as soon as you hear it, then it's like, I'm the... They immediately defended himself, like they obviously all do all the time. But yeah, in a friend group...
It's just a joke. Take a joke, mate. You used to be able to have a laugh.
Yeah, exactly. It's just banter. Everybody else knows it's just banter. But it's not. And it's not funny, and it's not banter, and it's bullshit.
Just kidding doesn't cut it. Yeah. You know?
No.
Somebody's gender, sexuality, anything, like race, insert anything here, it's not it can't and should not never be the basis of your quote-unquote joke.
Yeah, for sure. The Harry is what generally the new Joffrey for me in a way. I mean, maybe less horrible than Joffrey. Well, not just because Joffrey was, I don't know, just such a wanker. I got so annoyed with the guy.
And I think that this is a great time to talk about the friendship piece and, like, Charlie's friend group, especially his best friend, Tao, who was very protective of Charlie because he'd been there with Charlie through the bullying years, right? When he first came out, and like this was kind of supposed to, I don't know, be done now, but all of a sudden Harry is bringing it right back, and Tao is just like not having any of it and goes and just fully stands up to Harry. And every time, like those scenes actually like were some of my favorites because it was really heartwarming to see a friend stand up for another friend in such an iconic way. Like, It was great. Tao, and as Liz said as well,
iconic.
Wonderful. And as Liz said as well, that there was a lot of your mum jokes in there, and because it wouldn't be a British show otherwise, you know.
Is it something that's specifically British?
I mean, not specifically, but like, yes.
I mean, do you do that a lot? Why do you do that a lot?
I don't know.
I just like noticed I wouldn't it, like, say maybe it's once or twice. I didn't notice it British. Often.
Because your mom jokes definitely existed in my high school in Canada. But, like, it to me, it's something that is very British.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting. Generally, I felt the British vibe was really well, like, really good in it. Like, just, I don't know, you felt you watched, like, a proper British show there. Like, whereas with Sex Education, it could be, I don't know where it is. Like, this is so meta somehow. It could be anywhere and nowhere at the same time. Like, everybody's talking British, but it doesn't feel like they're in Britain somehow. So yeah, that just, it was just kind of, yeah.
Nondescript Brit.
Tawn said before that, and I need to bring it up, that his boyfriend said that he had to suspend disbelief because Nick was written to be a bigger guy and he was not impressed by the actor. Jesus Christ, I am so impressed. But, like, again, I saw the graphic novels that that Nick is obviously drawn bigger, which I perceived as more muscular because rugby lad, so bigger in that sense, not like bigger as in heavier. That's how I perceived it when I read it. But I thought the actor was incredible. And like, I think all the actors in this show were incredible. Like, I couldn't, like, I have moments where I'm watching scenes and I'm watching them and I'm like, you are acting this now. And sometimes with especially like younger actors, often in a way you like, you notice that they're still younger and like struggle, like, okay, they're all 18, 17, 18 around. So that's like different than the 13-year-old who played Emma Watson when she played Hermione and you knew she was acting, right? But fuck me, I thought they were all so good, like incredibly good. And especially considering a lot of them were like first time acting on stuff like this. And Keith Connor, who plays Nick, he wasn't one of them. Like, he already played in The Rocket Man and played Elton John in Rocket Man and some other bigger things. So he's like, he's already got experience there. And I feel he was so good.
Good. They were all phenomenal actors. And I think that the other really great thing was that most of them were queer, like queer people playing queer roles, which is such a joy to see because there's often straight people playing queer roles. I mean, that goes into a whole other thing. So it is frustrating because like hire people with lived experiences to bring actually that experience and emotion to the role. So like, I think that a show doing that, especially with such a young cast, is just really important and fantastic, especially because they did, like, they killed it. They did such a good job.
Like, the entire, not only the cast, but also the people working behind the scenes, they were really, really focusing a lot on hiring queer folk for the show. Also, the director, Euros, I don't know how to pronounce his name, I'm really sorry, is also gay, and the author, like Alice Oseman, is Aerois as well, which is pretty fun because Rick and I talked about it and they said, I'm aromantic, I can't be so invested in this series. And then later I was like, well, that's interesting that you say that because the author actually is also Aerois, right? So they're also aromantic, and it's interesting that they decided to write such a romantic piece of literature. I mean, that's like, so that's why I just found it fascinating. We were talking about the author being Aero and it being so romantic, or was it? And then Rick said, yes, Heartstopper cracked their black, dead, aromantic heart. And then Gemma said, she thinks that people of all genders and sexualities can appreciate stories of joy, though. Like, there's beauty in the human experience, in it, even if it's not yours. Queer joy can be queer joy for all of us.
Definitely. And I think that that's a beautiful thing to say. I'm really valid.
We were talking about the friends also.
Yeah, their little friend group of Charlie and Tao and Elle and Isaac was beautiful and diverse. And I got the feeling that they were the quote unquote outcasts of the school. Like they weren't the popular kids.
I mean, they definitely saw themselves like that. Like mm-hmm. Tao actually mentioned that they are like not even a group, but a trio of outcasts.
mm-hmm. And just going back, like Tao was, I mentioned previously that Tao was very protective of Charlie and the bullying and everything, totally understandably. But to the point that he really kind of alienated Nick from the friend group and alienated like welcoming him in. Charlie had this massive crush on him, and Nick is a rugby lad and like part of the popular crowd, and you know, kind of surrounds himself with not the nicest group of friends, like kind of bullies and knobheads and I don't know, insert your insult of choice here. Just not nice people that would be more on the bullying side of things. And so Tao really was protective of Charlie to the point that Charlie didn't feel comfortable, and like he could tell Tao that he was seeing like actually going out with Nick, and like that caused a rift in their friendship that like I don't think that it played out exactly as it would have played out, because Tao found out about their relationship and was like, you should have told me, why didn't you tell me, I can't believe you didn't tell me, I'm gonna be angry at you. And Charlie's like, how do you tell someone who hates someone, like who hates that person, that you're dating that person? Like, and it was frustrating to watch, because it's just a scenario that has 100% happened multiple times with multiple friend groups.
Yeah.
Like it was very, very, very real. And I think like when they did make up, they both apologized for the thing that they needed to apologize for. Like Tao actually said, I'm sorry that I didn't give you, I didn't like, how did he phrase it? Like, I didn't make it easy for you to tell me.
Pony says Tao gave him PTSD from old jealous friends, but he ended up understanding his point of view. Yeah, I feel it's really, it's interesting to watch it maybe with a step back to a degree, because you're like, you can, because you also see a bit more of what they potentially might be thinking, which you necessarily don't do with jealous friends, because you are in the crossfire there, right? So you can't see it with distance. What I found a bit interesting is because afterwards I was like, I don't want to read the novels because I don't want to be spoiled. But then at the same time, I couldn't not read them. So I read them all until 3 a.m. in the morning one day. And it's actually a bit different in the graphic novels.
Okay.
Because he didn't tell, and I don't know if that's going to be a spoiler for the future, but I don't think necessarily really, because otherwise it would have potentially just come up already. But he didn't tell Tao in the graphic novels because Tao was the one who accidentally outed him. So that's why he was, and it is interesting because it gives this entire dynamic a totally different spin, right? Even though like the outcome is kind of similar, then Tao is a really good friend and doesn't know. But in the graphic novels, that's the reason why he doesn't tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the that's same time,
that happens in, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. It's interesting that that's how it happens in the graphic novels, because there's a moment, is it when Elle says it or when Nick says it to Tao, that one of the reasons Charlie maybe hasn't told him yet is because he doesn't want Tao to blurt it out when he is like arguing or fighting with Harry. Which
that's what Tao said, you mean?
It was said to Tao that one of the reasons why maybe Charlie hasn't told him is because he's afraid that he's going to blurt it out to Harry, which is a good allusion perhaps to, you know, the past that is talked about in the graphic novel.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. But I also, in general, yes, Tao was annoying at bits because I'm like, oh. But at the same time, I just found he was really some things he said was just hilarious. Like the way he came back at Harry, that was great at times and really good. And also some other things when they were together in the friend group, it just made me like actually lol. When he was like, yeah, and if Nick hurts you, then, and Charlie says, oh yeah, you're going to kill him. No, I was going to say I'm going to write him a strongly worded DM, but murder is fine as well or something. It's just love that.
Just that made me laugh really hard too. Yeah.
So good. Also, there also needs to be an L appreciation moment.
Yes.
Because fuck me, what a glorious human being.
Mm-hmm. She is an incredible actress. She is phenomenal. Like, just, oh, no, so much appreciation.
Yeah.
And Liz said in chat, Tao backing up into L with his erotic dancing made me laugh out loud so hard. And I was like, I didn't know that I was dating Tao, that my fiance is not actually Tao, because his erotic dance is very similar to how Tom twerks. And it is fantastic. Sorry for saying that on Twitch and on our podcast, Tom, but I love your little twerk. And it is just like watch Tao doing that dance and appreciate it for what it is. And all its dorky, nerdy booty shaker.
Poor Tom. It's great. Maybe not poor Tom. I mean, Tom does cute shit. We all need visuals for that.
Yeah.
Well, Tom can record a video and let's go.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll sneak a video next time. Now he'll never do it for me again.
Oh, no. Yeah. Also, I feel you need to just, we need to mention, because every one of their, even though like the entire show revolves around like Nick and Charlie, but I feel like every one every person of the friend group in itself is so important. So Tara and Darcy, for example, both incredible. Also incredible acting and like their importance in this entire setting as well, I feel like there are so many moments with them that are also so necessary to see and also I feel that it makes it so visual and so clear and so obvious why it is important to see people like you. Because you can't be what you can't see. That's not how the word goes. But it's you need to be able to see people with same life experience as you to be able to identify with them and make your, like, it just makes your life easier in a way. Mm-hmm. way of in the feeling of you are not alone in that situation, and it makes it easier to walk after them and to walk behind them and then together with them. I feel it's so important, and I feel that was such a big thing as well in the show.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of really important moments with Tara and Darcy, and the one that Liz in chat says is perhaps one of the most important, and it's Tara's moment explaining her internalized homophobia. Just talking that out loud, hearing somebody talk about that is just, it's so sad and so beautiful and so hurtful and real, I think is really the best word to describe it. It's just so real, and almost every queer person is going to have experienced moments like that, where they're processing their internalized homophobia, and whether they actually process it or how they process it. It was really important to see.
Pony says he also loves how Tara said, we don't want to make a big thing, make announcement or anything at Harry's party, and the next day she makes an Instagram post. That's representation. Yeah.
And Tara saying, I couldn't even say the word lesbian when we first got together.
Mm.
And then hearing like the girls in her school and her class calling her a lesbian, and it was like, I don't know what the word is, harrowing for her to experience that when like she couldn't even say that, and now people that she that were friends with her the like yesterday, won't talk to her because she's a lesbian.
Also, the way people treat. Because she noticed and acknowledged that people treat her differently because she came out now. Just because, and even though for her nothing changed, she is who she is, right? But all of a sudden, everybody else treats her as if she's somebody entirely different, which is not, because she's who she's always been. And I think that it's so graphic, in a sense, in the show to see that as well, like. I am the same that she's like, I'm the absolutely same person as I was yesterday, but all of a sudden everybody treats me like I'm someone else, but which I'm not. I just want to be me again. I just want to do what I've always done. I want to be with who I want to be with because I love her. And that's just, I feel that they made it really graspable, that divide as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To be aware that it's not something that somebody did, that that's with a lot of the stereotypical bullshit, like it, as if it's a decision that you I decide to be gay or whatever, I decide to do whatever. That's not it, right? It's always been who you've always been, and everybody else can go shit, actually. Yeah, honestly, it just gets so furious, like, just thinking about it, where I'm like, why would you treat somebody differently just because they love someone else that you expected them to love? Like, what sense? It makes no sense in my head, in the fucking slightest. No, so I'm just like, why the...
I agree. And speaking of internalized homophobia, I think that we need to talk about Ben.
Yeah. The actor is really cool, though.
He seems like a cool person, except he played kind of a shithead.
I know, he played a shithead.
No, he played someone struggling with their own internalized homophobia to the point that they bullied, and there was a lot there.
Yeah.
So Ben is a character we meet in the first episode who is kind of having a secret fling with Charlie. Charlie being an out gay boy at the school, and Ben being the exact opposite, who refuses to admit that he's even attracted to men, and kissing girls at the front, like the school gates and everything. And it comes with its own host of problems. He turns quite nasty and tries to assault Charlie, force him to kiss him when like Charlie was clearly saying no, and like that was kind of a formative moment for Nick and Charlie as well, because Nick actually stopped that from happening, like pulled Ben off of him. And it's nasty, and Pony says that Ben is even nastier in the novels, which makes me really sad because he was
already
nasty in the show. So I'm like, oh God, do I really want to read the novels where he's even worse?
The graphic novels, I don't remember, but it must be in, because it's entire universe, like all Osman's book are kind of in the same universe, so you get like stories from other points of views from every book and stuff, so probably in those, I guess.
And Ben basically like finds out about Charlie and Nick, and like threatens more to out them, and there was like an incident at a movie theater, and like Ben says to Charlie that Nick's only with him because he pities him and he feels sorry for him, and like just really tugs at every heartstring in my poor little heart. And because for somebody who clearly has some like quite a lot of self-esteem issues, like Charlie has, where you know, he was with Ben, and like Ben, or he thought like Ben might be a boyfriend, and Ben was like, I'm not your boyfriend. And then like, so that's put kind of a seed of doubt there, like, oh, well, we're kissing, but we're not boyfriends. So like, there's that going on. And so just like making him call into question, like, how does Nick actually feel about me? I think, like, oh, he's just, he's such a good character, but he's such a bad person.
That is well summarized. Such a good character, such a bad person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. Also, like, he, the way he feels entitled to whatever Charlie's still doing, even though he's, like, not committing to him, obviously, because he doesn't want to come out, doesn't know what he wants to come out as, or doesn't even seem to. I mean, you don't follow him, like, privately, but you don't seem like, he doesn't seem like there's any progress in a way where you're, like, he's trying to figure himself out. He's doing the thing, like, he will eventually. Everybody will, I guess. But yeah, it's just the way it also impacts Charlie, as you mentioned, in all everything going forward, like also in the way he reacts with Nick in certain moments is just so branded by what Ben and how Ben treated him previously.
The last interaction that we see between Charlie and Ben is like Charlie approaching Ben after sports day, after beating him in a race, actually, and, you know, says, and this is after like months of Ben goading him and being like, you're obsessed with me, stop following me, like, what are you doing, blah 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 blah, and I was just like, oh my god, shut up. But Charlie approaches him after winning this race and is like, you know, you don't have this power over me anymore because of your own internalized tobophobia, just because you don't know what you are. And at this point you see like Ben actually starts to cry a little bit. Like, you don't get to treat me like shit. And yeah, I thought that it was standing up to your bullies, and
I feel there was a lot of empowerment there for Charlie. No, well, at multiple moments, like, he already pushed him away at the party previously, and then he really like, and Ben didn't ever really stop with the bullying, the harassment in a way, and then he was like, you can fuck all the way off, like, you figure your own shit out, that's not my problem that you haven't figured your own shit out, but you can't get to decide anything over me. Pony says he was talking about Ben with an IRL friend and he had a very good take on the character. Ben didn't really have the time or space to process his feelings, nor did he have a support circle. Not to say his reaction is okay, but it kind of makes sense that he ended up that way. Yeah, I mean, it's always like hurt people also hurt people, right? Like, it's never really an excuse, but you can logically understand where people become, how people sometimes become such idiots, like, and such like horrible people. That doesn't mean that it's an excuse for their behavior, but it's an explanation. And some, but that doesn't mean that they can't change their behavior, right? So, but yes, totally agree.
Yeah, and Ben is in that group of like rugby lads where, you know, that Harry is the capital A asshole of the group. And like, if that's your friend group, like, absolutely, you do not want, like, you won't feel comfortable coming out in that circumstance, in that situation. Like, you won't, it takes a very strong person to go against, you know, what all your friends are saying.
And I'm also convinced that Harry has bullshit at home, like, at the same time, like, very rich, spoiled brat. Would assume his parents don't give a shit, so he needs to be the big guy at school. That's my my quick assumption.
Oh, absolutely.
Without having like read any more background info on Harry in the slightest, but
I would say I totally agree.
Still hate his guts though.
And like, Nick really breaks the mold here because he starts hanging out with Charlie, and even his mum says, I haven't seen, you're more yourself with Charlie than you are with anyone else. And I think like that starts the ball rolling for him, like his train of thought, like, why am I more different, like more myself and settled with Charlie than I am with, you know, the boys that I usually hang out with. And then he realizes that they suck. They really suck.
Yeah.
And like, there's a whole, you know, inner monologue with I don't know what those are like, by the way, but there's like an inner monologue with Nick, like, talking about how he realizes that his friend group sucks, and like, what does he do? Like, and what do you do when you realize that every single person you hang out with is kind of a jerk?
Pony mentioned Imogen here, And I have to say, the first time I watched the show, she really pissed me off, right? She really annoyed me to a degree where I'm like, oh, you're just so fucking annoying. The more I watched it, I think she's the only person that started to grow on me to a degree where I'm like, oh, you poor girl. Like, you know, like, because in a way I totally see myself in her when I was, and see this parts of myself in her as a young teenage girl where you're like, you're just so into the guy and you're so happy that you're like, he agrees to go on a date with you. And then you're like so over and you're just annoyed. Like, and at the beginning, all of that was really annoying, but then you're like, oh, actually you're a really good girl, right? You're just really into him and he's not into you. And that's really painful too. And but you're dealing, taking it so well. And really, she really, really grew on me. And I can't wait what more they're going to bring into that with her, because she's not really in the novels. I don't recall her at all. Like Isaac is also not in the novels. He's
okay. Isaac, though, I love Isaac.
I love him too. Like, Ed didn't like him. He said he can't act. But I think I really liked him.
Isaac was your nerdy, awkward friend who's in your group that, like, just kind of hangs out on the peripheral and is really supportive. And Isaac, did you notice? I'm sure you did. I'm sure, or maybe, I don't know. But Isaac always had a really interesting book he was reading. It was always something about gender, about sexuality that, like, he could learn from and, like, help support his friends. Or maybe he's reading for himself. Like, maybe he's reading to discover, like, Isaac is such a mystery. And he's a supportive fucking mystery. And I love him. And we need more Isaacs in the world.
The assumption is that because Osman said that there will be ace representation if there is a second season. And people are assuming that Isaac is going to be that. Was the first thing that I thought when that came up. I was like, yeah, it's probably going to be Isaac. There's usually someone else in that universe called Aiden. I forgot his name. No, Aiden is not the right word, but something like that. Name is not there. And they are actually the person instead of Isaac, but they have their own book, Radio Silence. Aled. Thank you, Lizzie. Aled. Aled. I don't know how to pronounce the person. They have their own. They're not the same character, Liz. It's a different character. Aled has a separate storyline, but the storyline, the author would have had to change the storyline so much that it wouldn't fit with the novel anymore. That Aled is mostly, there is one novel that's mostly about Aled, and that wouldn't fit anymore. So that's why Aled got exchanged for Isaac, and Isaac is a different person and a different story.
That's interesting.
Just in.
It's a Welsh
name. Arled. It's a Welsh name. Oh, wow.
Okay, and also, like, Welsh representation. Sorry.
What? Do you mean Arled is the Welsh representation? It's not in the show.
I know.
Maybe, no, well, I don't think he's going to show up.
That's really interesting, and I can totally see that. But also, like, I need to have a rewatch of it all. A rewatch of the show just so that I can write down every book that Isaac was.
Oh, yeah, I think there are lists already. But yeah, I was also. Okay, like,
so I don't need to do the research because I added a couple to my wish list as I was watching. I was like, that sounds really interesting. Yeah, I'm going to add that.
Yeah.
Because I can really see myself and Isaac, like, kind of hanging out on the peripheral of a friend group being like, these are my friends.
But he's also
like being friends with them.
He's, as you say, he's so fucking supportive, but he's also so regulating is not the right word. He's like this centerpiece of keeping the calm in the friend group and also not has no interest in any bullshit whatsoever. So when they had the conversation and they had like movie night organized and then Charlie couldn't come because he agreed to go on do something with Nick instead, and Tao got really upset, and Elle was all being nice, and he was just not engaging with that kind of conversation because he wasn't he didn't give any fucks. So that was really.
And when he kicked the Monopoly board off the bed, Tao and Charlie were fighting over who's actually the winner. Like, oops, sorry guys.
So the actor
is wonderful. I love it.
The actor Toby Donovan, I think, is his name. has his own YouTube channel, and he's posting vlogs on the YouTube channel. It's pretty funny. And he actually worked in Sainsbury's before, and also came from the grocery store directly on set. So that was also one of those cast persons ones that haven't acted before, like professionally at least. I just find that so cool, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, they really did such... Also, which I find so wild as well, all that casting and all of that happened during COVID. So they almost had no human interaction and had like chemistry reads and shit on Zoom. And then like a big one before the show started. And I'm just like, this is... And then to have a cast like this is incredible. Like, don't even understand how they managed to do all of that. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Oh, sorry. And the importance of the gay teacher that Charlie would hang out in the art room.
Yeah.
And like open up and talk. What was his name? I'm sorry. Ajay. I watched it once, 8 times, so I didn't get everyone's names. Ajay, that's right. That's so great to have that kind of representation. That's that person that you can talk to when you're in high school, like being able to talk about these things. And I noticed that like Mr. Ajay had on a pride pin on his lapel of his jacket, which I'm like, okay, so he is like the LGBT rep in the school, which is like a sign like the gay kids can go and talk to him. Like,
yeah.
He was great. And the advice that he gave Charlie, especially the line of like, I spent a lot of time hiding in high school when and it didn't help me. I should have just been out there. And I thought that that was just such a powerful thing to say, because it's using his own experience and how like shit that was for him at the time to like help a student who's struggling with something really similar that he went through. And like Gemma says, good high school teachers can save lives. And yes, they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met up with some girlfriends on Monday that I went to high school with. And like all three of us are still friends 20 years later. Oh my God, 18 years later, actually. With some of our high school teachers. Like.
They're actual people in these timelines now. Previously it was only like 3-4 years or something, and now it's like 18-20 years ago. That's like actual human beings you can already reproduce kind of times, and that's the scary thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely. Jinx says the drama department at her school saved all of us. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had these trust teachers, but she was also a bitch, so I don't think that people actually would have gone to her. Like, if I don't know, I hope there are better times now in schools for kids, but I don't know. I mean, that series I feel gives you hope, right? To a degree it gives you hope, because it's obviously not all nice and dandy and great and whatever, but yeah. Also, Olivia Colman, I just love her so much. I just cannot not. Like, she's just the absolute fucking best. I don't. Oh, my God.
Her reaction when Nick came out to her is, like, everything you could ever want.
Yeah.
Like, just, thank you for telling me.
Does Gemma not know who Olivia Colman is? Do we have to cancel Gemma now? Are you fucking... Oh my God, Gemma, what the actual fuck? What the fuck? Even I know that. Even I know who Olivia Colman is, and I'm not British. Oh my God, Gemma.
One of the only things that my mum said about this show was, oh, that's Olivia Colman. I love her.
Oh no. I have to say... And I would like to preface what I'm about to say with the thing that I'm very aware this is a very questionable and a very not, this is not the great thing to, well, want or whatever, because I know there it's more complex than that. But I, when I watched this, I was like, I really, really, really want to be Olivia Colman for someone. Because I watched this and I was like, there are so many people out there who don't get an experience like this. And I wish I could give someone an experience like that. But I'm not getting any children, so that's not going to be it. And I was also thinking, if I would ever get children and they're straight, I'm going to be so upset. That's also a very questionable thing to say, and it's bullshit, and I know. But I was like, there are so many people who have shit experiences when they tell their family or their friends that they're coming out or something. And I would just, like, I would offer myself as a safe space, but anyway. A pony, let me be your Olivia Colman.
Yeah, like my coming out experience wasn't bad, but like when I told my parents, it was okay, don't tell anyone.
I remember
what you telling me. What am I supposed to do with that, you know? So it could have been, you know, a very different experience. It should have been a very different experience of just saying, like, thank you, I love you, nothing about you has actually changed.
Also, the thing that she also added, that you don't have to say you like girls when you don't. Like, I thought that was also such a nice add-on, because it's probably not the only thing where you're like, not the first time that somebody first said they're bi when they're actually already know that they're gay, right?
And like, can we talk about that Nick is bisexual?
Yes, please.
Because that's fantastic. Like, I was so excited. Like, because at first I was like, oh, okay, so he's going to come out as gay and it's going to be a story about being gay. But, like, no, it's a story about finding out that actually you're attracted to all genders. And the scene with Pirates of the Caribbean when his mom is like, oh, you really love Keira Knightley. And then, like, Orlando Bloom comes on the screen and I'm like, or did he love Orlando Bloom or did he love both? That is such a, like, and then I thought back to me watching Pirates of the Caribbean. I was like, wow, that was really a bit of a bi awakening for me as well, because hello, they were both beautiful people, and I was like, huh, relatable. But him explaining bisexuality to his mom Olivia Colman and her being like, I know, I wasn't born like yesterday.
Like, I know, so what this cute. Is
it was wonderful. It was wonderful, and we need more wholesome bi representation, because it was just like, thank you, like, thank you so fucking much for making it so normal and so lovely and so perfect. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah, it was all about, this was just the most wholesome piece of television in a very, very, very long time. I feel there was nothing about this where I would, there was like, I wish that would have been different. Everything about this was just, this fills the wholesome cup up to a degree that it spills over and you just have to cry because it's so nice.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yes, and Pony said something really important there. The fact that they didn't need to add a girl to the mix to prove that he has feelings and that he is bisexual.
Because
you don't need to have experience with another gender to know that you like more than one gender.
Yeah. It was, it's just such, I just cannot. What was your favorite scene? Or what are your favorite bits? If you think back on it, what was your favorite one?
I loved the scene. One of the first times that Charlie went to Nick's house and the dog, and they were outside in the snow. That was like my ultimate expression of, like, even though they weren't, like, Nick wasn't out yet or even, like, really knew what was going on with his sexuality, like, it was just such an expression of queer euphoria and queer joy that I was like, this is beautiful. And then the picture for the birthday present, I was just like, oh, yes.
Yeah, it's so cute. Yeah. Just love this show. It's such a good show.
So what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene, there are a couple of things that I just found really epic. Also, another thing, soundtrack, out of this world, amazing. Like, I also have never seen a series in a while where the music had such a massive impact into how I feel about it. Like, always, the music is always a big thing, but I feel like that one hit you right in the stomach. Like, it was a gut punch. Like, there's nothing else. Nick smiling at Tara and his girlfriend kissing at her girlfriend kissing at the party was one of my favorites. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I feel that was the one where that was one that was it for me. That's why I mentioned the music first, because that in combination with the song just gives me goosebumps thinking about it, actually. Because it's like, she was in a place where Darcy and Tara were in a place where they were like, we don't want to make a big thing about this. We just want to be us. We just want to have a great time. We just want to do it. And then Nick seeing them, and I think that moment was also so important that he saw them doing whatever they wanted to do for this evening to proceed the way it did in the end. I feel, would it not have happened, it would not have ended like this. So I feel it was also such a key moment, and paired with the music with Church's song, fuck me, that was so good. Mm-hmm. And that smirky smile from Nick was just fucking adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Young man is gonna be in such an incredibly good looking older man, and I'm already terrified. Fuck me. Like, I need to remind myself that I'm 37 and he's 18, and I can't swoon over an 18 year old like this, but holy shit. It's gonna be like really, really bad when he's older.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Pony, I agree. The Shura bit, and that's also the one with Shura, with when he came to his house in the rain, like the parts of that was just first in the room when he, like, when Charlie tried to talk himself out of about how sorry he is, and in general the situation about him apologizing just for existing all the time. He doesn't need to apologize for existing. And I feel Nick just tries to constantly remind him of the fact that he has nothing he needs to apologize for. There's that. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, in Charlie's place, where he then like opens up to him about having his gay crisis and them sharing this kiss is really cute. And then afterwards, when Shura's song is playing and Charlie runs after him in the rain bit just was really cute. Just really enjoyed that as
well.
It was
well. So cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Flinksy also says about the scene where Charlie falls asleep while watching a TV show with Nick, and like Nick thinks about like touching his hand and like holding his hand, and like there's all the animated sparks flying and lightning and being like, do I? Oh no, do I? And then there was like the parallel to that when they go out to the cinema with their friends, and then they do kind of hold hands while watching it. And it was great. It was so well done. I love it. I'm glad that teenagers and younger and everyone is getting these kinds of shows now, because they're just great. Everything about them is great.
I feel a bit sad for older generations who haven't had this before and have this melancholy about it that they didn't have it. Mm-hmm. But equally, I'm like, I'm so glad younger generations have it now. Like, it feels like such an important piece of pop culture now. Like, I feel like there is a time before Heartstop and there's a time after Heartstop. And I feel you don't have that with a lot of series, right? Like, yes, Sex Education is very special as well, but there is not, it doesn't feel like there is a before Sex Education, after Sex Education, whereas I feel like with Heartstopper, there is a before Heartstopper and after Heartstopper.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
I don't want to do dating anymore.
Liz, I don't want to.
Fuck, no.
No, thank you, I'm done.
No.
Yeah. So, final thoughts on Heartstopper from me are, I will be joining all of Twitch chat today and buying the books, all of them, because yes, and I cannot wait. I like squealed when at the end it says that season two is coming. I was like, yes, even though like I knew, but also like
two and three, two more seasons are confirmed. Also, I feel we can't do this. I just need to mention her, because we can't end the podcast and not have mentioned her. Tori, my absolute favorite. Charlie's sister. She's the queen of everything.
Yeah. We all need big sisters like that.
Honestly. And Solitaire is about her, the book. So just in case you will need to know that. Which I like, Tori is just the epiphany of that.
Mm-hmm. No, she was great. Straight, talking, blunt, supportive, lovely, everything. Yeah. All the good parts of a big sister, yeah, plus like also being annoyed at your younger brother. I loved her.
Yeah,
loved
it's her. Really, it was really, really good. I'm curious if you want to read the graphic novels, what are you going to think of what's going to come?
I'm excited to.
But yeah, we will not go into that because no additional spoilers. I'm not very far ahead in Solitaire. I just like a couple of chapters in, like four or so. And I fell asleep because I was really tired, so I didn't continue yet, but I want to because I just love Tori so much. I need to read her book. I need to, even though it's so hard, the reading for me currently. But there will be a time where I finish it. Yes, I feel we had like good convos about this. We mentioned everyone.
Very good conversation. And I think it's only the beginning of our conversations about Heartstopper.
It's just really the best fucking show on television right now. Honestly, I go that far. Absolutely. I go that far. Biggest impact show for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So yeah. Right.
That's what we have to say about Heartstopper. Please let us know on social media. Join us on Discord, geekcaring.com/Discord, where we can continue the discussion about Heartstopper and how much we love it.
Yes.
Come hang out there.
And see you again in 2 weeks for another amazing episode of Geek Caring.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.